As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Well, once again, the sun is arising over Missouri, folks, and it is time for a Show Me Showdown. We got breakfast on the table, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it. And welcome to the Monday, April the 27th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. That's oraclebroadcasting.com. Hope you had a wonderful weekend. I'm on the web, a little website, vocallocal.org. You might want to check it out, soon to be changing, I hope. My name is William Roberts, and I've got good news, hard facts, and workable solutions once again for you today. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. We don't mind taking a sharpened stick and poking it in the eye of the beast here. Interactive talk radio is the name of the game, and to be a part of today's broadcast, you can sign in, pick a name, and become vocal local in the oraclebroadcasting.com chat room, or pick up the telephone and call now for those with unlimited long-distance access, or in the Austin, Texas area. You may call 512-904-8014. Again, that's 512-904-8014. And join us live on air and from around America and around the world. You can call toll-free at 866-841-1065, and your calls are welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email. Always enjoy getting your emails, host@vocallocal.org. Again, that's host@vocallocal.org, VOCALLOCAL.org, vocalis localis in Latin. And for those without yet internet access, listening by any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Send your letters to me, William Roberts, P.O. Box 96 out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. And a big shout out to Liberty Radio and Micro 1650 AM. Thank you, gentlemen, for broadcasting Become Vocal Local. Had a wonderful interview with Jim Berryman of Micro 1650 AM on Sunday. Thank you so much, Jim, for inviting me on and letting me talk to your audience one-on-one, personal-like. Again, those websites are vocallocal.org, ozarksvoter.info. The listener call-in number remains 866-841-1065, and the Oracle chat room is open. Gold is unperturbed above 900 as hog fever gives stocks the squirts. We'll talk about that. Special drawing rights, an old game with a new twist, Egyptian history, we'll go there. Of course, we'll take your calls and much, much more. Let's go into those market reports for Monday, April the 27th, 2009. Active trading in New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Gold was off $6, trading at above 900 at 907. Silver up 3 cents, 1292. Platinum off $32, a big drop in platinum there, $1,143 an ounce. Palladium, likewise, down $8, trading at $224 an ounce. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed Friday up 119.23 points to 8,076.29. So just barely above the 8,000 mark there. Anything they can do to preserve their image and keep it above 8,000, right? The NASDAQ closed up 4208 on Friday to 1,694.29. We'll see where all those go today. The U.S. Dollar Index up 40 basis points, trading at 85.25, a strong position there in the dollar. The crude oil off $2.67 a barrel, trading at 48.88. The lows and the highs in the spot market, 904.50 for a low, 917.70 for a high. So we're looking at about a $20 gain year to year and 2.26% up. So the spot market's going to close in 7 hours, and like we always say, on that lows and the highs, watch gold. It's changing all the time, and from year to year, who knows whether you gain a profit or not. The idea is to preserve and protect your wealth, not necessarily be involved in an investment scheme. We'll be right back after this break. Stay with us.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home for the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book, exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
Ian, welcome back to the Monday, April the 27th, 2009, two-hour broadcast to Become Vocal Local. As we come to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. My name is William Roberts. Let's go back and close out that market report for this morning. We found that gold was trading off $6 to $907 an ounce. Silver was up about 3 cents, trading at $12.92, just below that $13 mark. Hard to get over there and stay there. Platinum again was off $32 and so on. The spot market's going to close in about 7 hours. And let's go into the foreign exchange because it's pertinent to what we're talking about here today. We've been following this little idea of a basket of currency, and I just kind of picked four currencies out of the basket of currencies that we cover here on a regular basis. Here's the Canadian dollar. Trading right now 1.2129 or 83 cents against the U.S. So if you want to buy Canadian bucks, you're going to get them for 83 cents U.S. Mexican pesos, again, we watch these points after the decimal. It's trading at 13.7050 this morning, which brings it back down to 7 cents. So you can load up your pockets on Mexican pesos at 7 cents apiece. Euro went the other way. Stronger against the dollar, about $1.31. The British pound is still strong against the U.S. dollar at $1.46. So that's the foreign exchange. That's the basket of currencies. We'll talk a little bit about the stocks, grains, pesos, etc., all dropping on swine flu. You know, last Friday, when I was gathering news for the broadcast, I came across on Bloomberg this article about the first notices of this swine flu outbreak. I looked at that article carefully, and I declined to report on it. Now, it's been around, everybody's talking about it, but is it going to be an issue, or is it just another one of these many diversions? We'll see. I may come out to be the biggest fool of all for not taking up the banner of the swine flu. But this article off Bloomberg, April 27th, Daniel Hawk, he goes this way. Stocks declined around the world while the yen, the dollar, and treasuries gained as the swine flu outbreak spread. Swine flu outbreak spread. Let's look at the downside of all this. Mexico's peso fell and grain prices retreated. The Dow Jones Stock 600 Index of European shares dropped by 1.1%, led by airlines on concern that the disease will reduce travel. Futures on the Standard & Poor's 500 Index slipped 2%. The yen climbed more than 1% against the euro, and the peso slid more than 3% against the dollar. Corn fell the most in a week on speculation the outbreak may curb demand for pork and animal feed grains. The demand for pork and animal feed grains. You got a swine flu and people quit eating pork. Men are dying and people quit eating pork. Go figure. That's America. The spread of swine flu from Mexico to as far as New Zealand prompted concern of a pandemic. Snuffing out a rebound in stocks has pushed the MSCI World Index up 27 points, or 27%, since March the 9th. Shares also fell, and the treasuries rose after Lawrence Summers, director of the White House National Economic Council, said the U.S. economy will continue to contract for some time to come. In an interview on Fox News Sunday, what's that got to do with the swine flu? As if we don't have enough to contend with, Sydney-based Greg Gibbs and London-based Andy Chaytor, strategist at the Royal Bank of Scotland Group, PLC, wrote in a report today, quote, it's just what we need now, a flu pandemic in the midst of the biggest financial crisis since the Great Depression. Well, there's two sides to every report, and these fellows may be saying something much like what we needed right now was a Pearl Harbor-like event, even though I called that one more correctly, thinking of it as a Lusitania-type event. It's just what we need now, a flu pandemic in the midst of the biggest financial crisis. You never let a good crisis go to waste. Yields on 10-year Treasury notes dropped 5 basis points to 2.95%. The yen strengthened at 126.94 per euro, blah, 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 blah. Here's the more important part of the story. Airlines retreat. Paris-based Air France, KLM Group, fell 7.4% to 8.32 euro in Paris trading. 4 people in France suspected of suffering from swine flu have tested negative for the virus. They didn't have it. An official at the health ministry said today, London-based British Airways PLC tumbled 8.6% to 149.8 pence. It's amazing, isn't it, how people just run with every wind of doctrine. Well, I could go on and on here, and there's plenty more, and I was going to, but I've decided now that I'm no longer interested. I think I'm going to take up the attitude that I had last Friday. We'll see whether that develops into a real story or not. After all, at the time of that article, there was about 100 people that had suffered or died, I don't see which, from this swine flu. You know, you get one school bus goes off a bridge in Tallahassee, you can kill that many people in one fell swoop. But surely you're going to have to understand that as FEMA has gone in with their hazard mitigation programming plans and their emergency operation plans and the expansion of the NIMS program and the various fusion centers and all of the rest of that, they've got the whole United States, at least the rural communities, everybody's got these pandemic plans, and you know, once you start making plans, you can hardly wait to use them. Everybody's got their little masks and rubber gloves, and everyone wants to walk around wearing their stethoscope draped over their over their sweats or something, pretending like they're doctors when they're not. Nevertheless, we'll see where all that goes. If it actually turns into some kind of a pandemic, perhaps I'll pick it up and start talking about it. I'm more interested in what's happening economically right now, however, so let's go into that. One of the things that I've been hearing a lot is, and I've been talking about it myself, is this special drawing rights, okay, the SPDRs. But of course, for those of you that have spent any time at all listening to this broadcast, surely since I've come on with Oracle, you might remember the inquiry into the origin, history, and purpose of the new economic order, a mini lesson, if you will, a course here in our little internet homeschool classroom that I gave in all of the various and sundry international banking things, everything, all the way back to World War I, World War II, and that. And in that, we went through the International Monetary Fund and its creation, as well as the International Bank for Reconstruction and Development, the Bretton Woods Agreement, and other things. But let's just go back and visit briefly with this International Monetary Fund one time so that we can understand, wrap our minds around the fact that there's nothing new about special drawing rights. International Monetary Fund, this is an encyclopedia article now, and I'm not going to read all of it. Well, I might. It's not that long. International Monetary Fund out of the Funk and Wagnalls new encyclopedia. Very good article. International Monetary Fund, specialized agency of the United Nations. Remember that. United Nations. Remember that. At United Nations, it's one of the various organs of the United Nations, the International Monetary Fund. And it was established in December 1945 as a prelude to the United Nations to promote a freer system of world trade and payments as a means of helping its members to achieve what? Economic growth. Economic growth. High levels of employment and improved standards of living. So high levels of employment, which doesn't say that high levels of employment doing something specific, it's just high levels of employment. There were lots of high levels of employment when the Egyptians were building the pyramids. There were high levels of employment when Stalin was using his captives in the gulags to dig the various canals and other things. There were high levels of employment when we were using Chinese coolies to build our railway. We'll pick it up on the other side. Stay with us.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic food,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.org or Broadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. listening. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at debtcrisissolutions.com. That's debtcrisissolutions.com today.
And we've returned once again, so we're going into a little bit of a review, very brief one here on this International Monetary Fund. But just to understand that it was established for a purpose and had these three primary planks. One of them was to achieve economic growth, establish high levels of employment, and improve standards of living. So those are all pretty subjective criteria. But the fund constitutes a continuing forum for consideration of foreign exchange problems. We talk about that. The foreign exchange rates, Canadian dollar, Mexican peso, euro, British pound, etc. We've gone into that in extensively. It's the means by which we conduct international trade. There's a reason why we have monetary units. It makes it a lot easier. We don't all just walking around with a big pile of tin pots and things stacked on our heads looking for somebody that wants to change that for a burrito. So, anywho, going into this a little bit further, the fund constitutes a continuing forum for the consideration of foreign exchange problems in which members are encouraged to avoid the use of restrictive practices and to maintain an orderly pattern of exchange rates. The $21,348,000,000 that the fund holds in gold and currencies provides a reserve on which members may draw to meet foreign obligations during periods of deficit in their international balance of payments. A request by a member nation for fund assistance is considered in the light of the fiscal and monetary policies of the nations and its cooperation with principles of the fund. Excuse me. The Articles of Agreement of the Fund and those of the International Bank for Reconstruction and Development, or the World Bank, were formulated at the United Nations Monetary and Financial Conference, part of the 1944 Bretton Woods Conference in New Hampshire. Each of the 116 members of the fund is assigned a quota that approximately determines its voting power and the amount of foreign exchange that it may draw from the fund. It's very important to understand that voting power. This is at the heart of this issue. And we're going to see it a modern article for that, to verify that in just a moment here. So the subscription of each member is equal to its quota and is payable partly in gold and partly in its own currency. Now what's shifted over time is this idea of paying in gold and paying in currencies. And apparently now we're moving into this, we're transitioning into this idea whereby purchasing IMF bond issues, it would satisfy their need for gold or currency in the fund. Now I'll just drop that. The member is expected to repurchase its own currency from the fund within 3 to 5 years with a payment of gold or dollars or convertible currency acceptable to the fund. Currencies drawn from the fund may be used to relieve short-term payment difficulties, and so on, and it continues. Dropping down to another one here a little further in this article. In September of 1967, the Board of Governors of the Fund approved an outline of a plan to establish special drawing rights in the fund. Now, this is a 1972 article. You can find the same article and the same phraseology back earlier than that. But here in 1967, we see the use of this term. This plan, an outline of a plan to establish special drawing rights. So realize that we're not talking about something really that's new. On October the 3rd of 1969, the Board of Governors of the Fund decided upon a first allocation of the special drawing rights of $9,500,000 over a 3-year period. The initial allocation on January the 1st, 1970 was about $3,500,000. The second and third to be made respectively on January of 71 and in 1972, blah, 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 continues. So With that having been reviewed, let's go into this other article off Market Watch this morning, April 27th, Developing Nations Trying to Build Long-Term Leverage at the IMF. And again, I have to reiterate here that we're talking about their voting rights. When the IMF was originally established and we went through and I read the list, you know, this G20, the G7, all of that, everybody contributed a certain amount of money based upon their GDP, their gross domestic product. And so the United States was the leader in all of that at the time, because the United States was number one in the list of nations as far as their gross domestic product. We'd just gone through this war period. We had tremendous and phenomenal GDP in this country, and so we led the field. We topped it out. It was not only is the IMF housed in Washington D.C., but we also led the field in the investments. And then the list just goes right down based upon GDP throughout. So in the G20, you're looking at the top 20 producers globally. Let's go into this article, Market Watch, April 27th, Bob Davis, Developing Nations Try to Build Long-Term Leverage at the IMF, a push by Brazil, Russia, India, and China to have the International Monetary Fund issue its first bonds has become part of a strategy of developing nations to gain a bigger say at the IMF. And let's not focus on the bonds, let's focus on gaining a bigger say for the duration here. At the fund's annual spring meeting, the four countries said they were willing to contribute a previously announced quadrupling of IMF resources to $1 trillion, mostly by purchasing bonds instead of, like they had in the original, contributing gold and currency. The bonds would be denominated in the IMF's quasi-currency called special drawing rights. Now, of course, you see, back since 1967, this quasi-currency has been around. So let's be careful about, jumping into this thing as the new currency of the world. There's nothing new about something that's been around prior to space travel, if you will. The bonds, again, would be denominated in the IMF's quasi-currency called special drawing rights, have a maturity of a year or so, and be sold to central banks. It's the so-called BRIC, or the British, Russia, India, and China countries. They're called BRIC. Now they're using it as an acronym. If the BRIC countries have their way, the bonds could also be sold on secondary markets to make the instruments more liquid. The proposed purchase is meant to send a double message, said Aswar Prasad, a former IMF official who remains close with the Chinese and Indian officials. The BRIC countries are willing to contribute to the IMF, but they won't contribute heavily to longer-term financial resources until the IMF increases their voting shares substantially. So it's money for votes. Money for votes. Money for votes. Remember that. Quote, they don't want to get locked into providing more money until they get their shares increased, their share of the votes, voting shares. The issue of voting rights and the IMF bonds were at the forefront of the IMF meetings, where discussions also explored the state of the global economy and provided support for low-income countries. In a statement Saturday, the IMF's main advisory committee, Brazilian Finance Minister Guido Mantega, said the IMF, quote, still has to address its original sin, its democratic deficit. You see where the drive is going, where the direction in this is going? Instead of having the United States and Great Britain and the other, the G7 or the G8 or the V8 or the orange juice or whatever group they've got running the whole show, the rest of the nations in this IMF agreement would like to have their voices heard. So would I. They want to become vocal local, if you will, in the IMF. Continuing here, Egyptian Finance Minister Youssef Boutros Ghali. Is that any relationship to Boutros Ghali, perhaps? The chairman of the advisory board said in an interview that he wants to get national leaders involved in remaking the IMF voting system. IMF voting shares. are supposed to generally reflect global economic power, but now give far greater weight to countries that were once powerful after World War II. We'll pick it up on the other side. Stay with us.
You are now listening to Oracle Broadcasting, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skin care, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
Okay, finishing up on this little bit here about the special drawing rights and whatnot. There's so much to all of this. I should have run over during the break and grabbed my other book here. But there's so much to all of this that it bears going into a little so that we can understand what's really, I think, at the issue in all of this. Going back to this article, he says, in March of 2008, after lengthy negotiations, the IMF announced that the developing nations' voting shares would increase by 5.4 percentage points and said it would look again at the subject in 2013. For the Brazil, that means its voting share increased by 0.3% to 0.3 points to 1.7%. China's voting share was boosted 0.9 percentage points to 3.8%. Even those increases haven't gone into effect. The voting rights for Belgium, Netherlands, etc., equal China's, even though China is a much larger economy. The IMF now is committed to revisiting the issue in 2011, but the BRIC countries believe the IMF's needs for funds gives them additional leverage. So it's kind of like quid pro quo in all of this. Realizing that many of the Western and developing nations, through all of their various funny money schemes, are a little bit on the broke side, now they're no longer the piper that can call the tune, and some of the other nations that followed more sane monetary policies perhaps in the past are now going to use the monies that Lee Rogers talks about, all these monies as leverage to get a greater voice at the table to move themselves up on the list of this G20. So there's much in all of that. Nearly every IMF plan to revamp the voting structure foresees a smaller role for European countries, especially smaller ones like Belgium and the Netherlands. In an interview with Reuters, Belgian Finance Minister Didier Reinders said the country should keep its seat on the IMF, 24-member governing board, because European countries contribute heavily to the IMF. So that's the big deal there. Now, I want to just give you about 1 second of dead air as I step to my other table. A book I want to use is out of reach. Hold on. Hate to do that. Usually have all my books stacked up here, but I forgot to grab it. Now, I went out over the weekend, as sometimes I do, and I went to a flea market and came across an interesting book. I'm going to share a little bit of it from it today. This is called, the title of this, this is a textbook. It's called Western Civilizations, Their History and Their Culture, 6th edition. This is a university textbook. It was written by a man named Edward McNall Burns. This is, again, the 6th edition. Copyright in 1963, with the first edition copyrighted in 1941 by the B.W. Norton Company. So we can see we're spanning about 20 years of updates and revisions in this particular textbook, and it's quite interesting. I'll give you a little blip here out of the beginnings. In the Neolithic culture, he's talking about something here that he gives it a good definition. This is a definition of the state. Listen up now. Still another of the great institutions to be developed by Neolithic man was the state. By way of definition, the state may be described as an organized society occupying a definite territory and possessing an authoritative government independent of external control. Again, the state described as an organized society occupying a definite territory and possessing an authoritative government independent of external control. The essence of the state is sovereignty, or the power to make and administer laws and to preserve social order by punishing men for infractions of those laws. Interesting. The essence of a state, again, is sovereignty, or the power to make and administer laws and to preserve social order by punishing men for infraction of those laws. Very important. Well stated. A state must not be confused with a nation. A state must not be confused with a nation. I've been doing a series for some time on both networks that I'm on in regards to the difference between state and national government. We don't have national government. We do have a state government, and we have a federal compact. But what is this discussion that we often find in print about national government? A state must not be confused with a nation. Here's the next continuation here. The latter, in other words, the nation, is an ethnic concept used to designate a people bound together by ties of language, customs, or racial origin, or by common memories, or a belief in a common destiny. A nation may or may not occupy a definite territory and does not possess the element of sovereignty. It may not even have an independent government. As, for example, the Poles during the long period when they were under Austrian, German, and Russian rule. At the present time, most nations are also states. So we have the United Nations, and then we have the member states. The United Nations is a blurring, if you will, of ethnic concepts, a blurring of languages, a blurring of customs, a blurring of racial origins, a blurring of common memories, a blurring of common beliefs in destiny. And yet, the United Nations just flies along, and everyone seems to ignore it. Nevertheless, continue. At the present time, most nations are also states, but this condition has largely resulted from the breaking up of the Russian, Austrian, German, and Turkish empires at the end of World War I. Except in the time of crisis, the state does not exist in a very large proportion of primitive societies, a fact which probably indicates that its genesis was rather late in the Neolithic culture stage. Most savage communities have no permanent system of courts, no police agencies, and no governments with coercive powers. No permanent system of courts, no police agencies, and no governments with coercive power. I would wonder about that. Nevertheless, give it to him and just keep going. Custom takes the place of law. The blood feud is the mode of administering justice, and there is very little conception of crime against the community. To primitive man, offenses are mostly what we call torts, or private wrongs between individuals or families, in the punishment of which no public authority takes part. The acceptance of vergeld, or blood money, is a common practice, and even felonies such as murder are regarded merely as offenses against the victim's family. Since the family of the victim has been deprived of a valuable member, the proper satisfaction is a money payment. If this is not offered, the family may retaliate in kind by killing the offender or a member of the offender's family. Practically the only wrongs against society are violations of taboos or religious prohibitions, but the punishment for these is religious and not political. So again in here, these are some very important concepts for us to understand, because as we see today, even though someone may commit a crime, if you will, against another person, a tort, the victim is seldom compensated. It's usually a fine paid into the state or time done in a prison where the prisoner has to do labor in exchange for his time, etc. So it's a changing there of the way that we originally approached government and law and punishment. The origin of the state was probably the consequence of a variety of factors. We're certainly justified in assuming the development of agriculture to have been one of the most important. In sections like the Nile Valley, where a numerous population lived by cultivating intensively a limited area of fertile soil, a high degree of social organization was absolutely essential. Ancient customs would not suffice for the definition of rights and duties in such a society, with its high standard of living, its unequal distribution of wealth, and its wide scope for the clash of personal interests. And then it continues along. And we'll pick that up on the other side of this break, and we'll go into Egypt and find the nature of its civilization. We'll be right back.
First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today." Dr. Mary's Monkey is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
And we've returned once again. Last week we went into this idea of trying to get to the and go through an inquiry into the origins and the history of anarchy. And we looked at anarch, and we found that it was basically the word anarch is not or ni or it's a compound an and arch, and it's basically a not ruler or not leader. For example, a matriarch. Or an oligarch, or a monarch, etc., not them. And so from that, I found it rather interesting how this is kind of how my research works. Here I just went into this flea market and went over to the corner there where they had a couple of bookshelves full of books, and they'd gotten in this Western Civilizations 6th edition textbook by Edward McNall Burns. And so I get it home. You know, I've got it for 40 cents. How can you beat it? It's got 1,000 pages here or better. Let's see. That's all 1,083 pages. And it's loaded with information, college information, college level information, if you will. Some of it is, I've gone and checked various places, keys that I know that I can check a book out and see how they respond to certain things. And largely, this is a pretty intelligent writer. It isn't until the later part of the book that he really starts to introduce minor problems, like commending the introduction of fluoride and so on as a preventative when he's talking about the advancement in medicine. But here in this particular section, he does give us a clue, and a valuable clue, one that I had no idea of, and it was not found in my encyclopedias. But we'll just start in here. on the Egyptian civilization. Now, he's definitely laying out scholarship here that indicates that Egypt precedes Mesopotamia in the list of civilizations, that they were more advanced as a civilization than Babylon, Mesopotamia earlier. But let's just go in here. How great is that which thou hast done, O Lord of gods? Thy plans and thy counsels are those which come to pass throughout. Thou sentest me forth in valor, thy strength was with me. No land stood before me at the mention of thee. I overthrew those who invaded my boundary, prostrated in their place. It was ordained because of thy victory, bringing commands. It was given because of thy kingdom, bestowing power. Now that's not out of the Bible. That's an utterance of King Ramses III before his father Amun-Ra, ruler of the gods, from the great inscription in the second court relief in the Medinet Habu temple. Let's go into this a little bit. In the pre-dynastic period, there's much here, I can't read it all, but in the pre-dynastic period, since there was no enduring unified state in the valley of the Nile until about 3200 B.C., the centuries from 5000 to 3200 are referred to as the pre-dynastic periods. Remember, anarch, no ruler. In the early part of this period, the country seems to have consisted of a number of gnomes. Quote-unquote gnomes. You know, like Nome, Alaska. I lived, spent a winter in Nome, Alaska. N-O-M-E. I'm going to repeat this sentence for you. In the early part of this period, the country seems to have consisted of a number of nomes, or city-states, each of them independent, although evidently cooperating with others for economic ends. Shortly after the beginning of the fourth millennium, a fusion of states took place to form two large kingdoms, one in the north and one in the south. One in the north. And one in the south. How the consolidations were effected, no one knows, but possibly they were accomplished through voluntary agreement or peaceful acquiescence in the rule of some capable prince. There is little evidence of military conquest. These kingdoms endured until the end of the pre-dynastic period, although they seem to have been united for a brief interval soon after their establishment. North and south. The racial complexion of pre-dynastic Egypt was essentially the same as in later epochs. The inhabitants belonged to the Mediterranean branch of the Caucasian race, but they were not a pure strain, and there is nothing to indicate that racial factors as such were of importance in the development of their culture. They were a short, dark, long-headed people with straight black hair, deep-set eyes, and slightly aquiline noses. Some of them showed traces of Negroid and Libyan intermixture, and possibly of the blood of the Semites and other Western Asiatic peoples. Their language contained evidences of Semitic elements, which would likewise indicate close relations with some of the natives of Asia. All right. So there's a lot in all of this important information coming on there, where these Caucasians, they give us a little idea of what they looked like and what, you know, their outward features might be. And then they give us a little bit of a hint here as to what kind of language group that they might have been in, etc. But these were not all of their accomplishments. They go on and they listed a bunch of other stuff in here. I'll just drop that out. But these were not all of their accomplishments. There is evidence that the pre-dynastic Egyptians evolved a system of law based upon custom, which were held in such high repute that they were later considered binding even upon the pharaoh himself. What I'm going to show you here in just a page or two is the similarity between the founding of the United States of America and the ideas of our founders and that of ancient pre-dynastic Neolithic, if you will, Egypt. And in just a few paragraphs, a system of writing appears to have also come into use, although no actual specimen of such writing has ever been found. The examples that have survived from the first dynasty partake of so complex a nature that they must have originated much earlier. In other words, what we have found, is so complex it couldn't have been created at that time. It would probably have come about over a longer period of time. The Egyptians of this period invented the first solar calendar in the history of man. It seems to have been based upon the annual reappearance of Sirius, the dog star, and it provided for 12 months of 30 days each, with 5 days added at the end of each year. According to the computations of the modern Egyptologists, this calendar was put into effect about the year 4200 BC. The existence of a reasonably accurate calendar at this time argues that a considerable development of mathematics and possibly the other sciences had already been attained. Political History, Section 2, Under the Pharaohs. About 3200 BC, the kingdoms of northern and southern Egypt were combined into a single political unit. You might consider that a federal compact, if you will. Apparently for the second time, so there was one prior. Although the earlier union was of very brief duration, we've only been at it for 200 years. Virtually a blip when you think in terms of 4,000 years at a clip. The traditional founder of the new state was Menes, who, therefore, became known as the founder of the first dynasty. I may have mispronounced the name. It's M-E-N-E-S. Menes is the way I'm reading it. Five other dynasties followed in regular order until 2300 BC. During the first two dynasties, the capital was maintained at Thinis in Upper Egypt. The third dynasty transferred the seat of government to Memphis on the southern edge of the delta in order to secure the advantage of a more central location of administrative functions. Here it remained for approximately five centuries. The period from about 2800 to 2300 BC is accordingly called the Memphite period, while the entire age of the first six dynasties is known as the period of the Old Kingdom. The government of the Old Kingdom did not actually approach the degree of personal absolutism that is commonly believed to have existed. It was nearer a theocracy than an autocracy. The absolutism of the king was exercised not in his own behalf, but as the vicar of God. Curious. It was the God as the personification of justice and social order who actually ruled, according to the prevailing concept, the monarch was his agent, the vicar of God. The monarch was his agent. It is true, of course, that the king was himself considered divine, the son of God, Re. He was held in such high respect that he could not be mentioned by name. It seems to me that I understand that the Jews don't use Yahweh's name. They feel that they shouldn't mention him by name. Hey, we'll pick it up on the other side. Looks to me like we're coming. Yes, we are. We'll pick it up on the other side and begin hour two.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
History will always remember those strong swords. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Long live the revolution.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local. Blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Ian, welcome back to the Monday, April 27, 2009, two-hour broadcast to Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com, as we begin our second hour of today's broadcast. My name is William Roberts. In the first hour, we went through some of the financial news, tried to bring out some of the important aspect of the International Monetary Fund's special drawing rights, tying that into things historical, into the creation of the IMF. Nothing really new about the idea of special drawing rights. The only real wrinkle in this right now is that they're going away from gold and currency payments, and you can buy your rights by purchasing bonds. That's an interesting one, and those bonds can be sold to the private market for liquidity. So that was the financial aspect of all things. Talked briefly about the swine flu, little hog fever giving everybody in the stock market squirts, but other than that, it's not doing a lot internationally. We'll see whether it really spreads or whether it's just another one of these little false flag blippos to train the first responders and the local elected officials in how to deal with and respond to a pandemic. Of course, it's going to make some money for the people that sell all of the vaccines. You've got to help anybody that takes a vaccine, but if they take it, that's their problem. All we can do is warn, and that's the end of our responsibility, I guess. So anyway, that's where we went in the first hour, beginning into a return, if you will, to our study of anarchy, trying to come to an understanding of these various and sundry terms so that we can make some sense out of the Bible verses that we found that actually led us onto the trail of understanding what is an ark, what is an archon, who is the family of Codrus, the 17 generations of leaders in Greece, and now we're going to pick it up in Egypt. Going back to this book, again, I really value these old books. They just seem to leap into my possession, come off of shelves in the most obscure places, and just fill the need at the right time in the right place, and I pick this stuff up for pennies. They're just being thrown away, basically. And so, anyway, back into this textbook, a college textbook, The Western Civilizations by Edward McNall Burns, published back in originally published in the very early part of the last century. This one was copyrighted in 1963 with a first edition in 1941. So, it fits my parameters. I generally have a cutoff date of about 1960, but this is well within the parameters of the books that I use mostly in my library, published prior to the 1960s. Some exceptions, but not very many. Going back again here, the government of the Old Kingdom did not actually approach the degree, again, of personal absolutism that is commonly believed to have existed. It was nearer a theocracy than an autocracy, and that's important for our discussion here. The absolutism of the king was exercised not in his own behalf, but as the vicar of God again. We're drawing parallels between the Holy Roman Catholic Church and the various and sundry governments and states that have come up across the globe. We started this off with a brief distinction between states and nations. And we'll continue. It was the God as the personification of justice and social order who actually ruled. So even in this very early time, thousands of years ago, over 4,000 years ago, that man in his development had understood the importance of the justice and social order, which actually rules the state. And then continuing, he says, according to the prevailing conception, the monarch was that God's agent, was his agent. Established an agency relationship with the creator of the universe. We'll pick it up on the other side. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at PureBulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at PureBulk.com.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home for the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
Okay, now we're back once again, going into this idea a little further on the early Egyptian civilizations. Coming up to an important part here. All of this is pretty important, actually, because, again, when I read this material, I know what's largely going down in that. At this particular time, especially in the 60s, but from the 40s forward, our minds were being shifted. Lots of the writers were working as change agents within this system. Now, I don't know for sure yet, because there's 1,000 pages in this book. I've read less than 100 of them already. Some of the first, some of the middle, and some of the end. Key phrases, key sections in it that I can use to test whether or not there's accuracy here and whether it's worth my time to read it. But certainly it's worth my time to read it when I look at it from the standpoint of this being a textbook used in the early 60s, all the way from the 40s through the 60s in universities and colleges. I'm always interested in that because this is the material that then is in the minds of so many of those that are actually in seats of power today. If this is where they base their, if this is what they base their understanding on, if this is that educational foundation that they use as a springboard into business and finance and politics, then it helps us to understand the mind of the ones that are attempting to rule over us, if you will. So let's go into this a little bit further. And by the way, I believe this author and so many others in his is one of the many others in his time period who is doing his level best to write well and to teach well. But there is something else that is involved in all this, and that there was, we were shifting our focus, we were shifting our attention away from the customs and traditions, the religions, if you will, of the world, into a new mental framework based on logical positivism and other things. So I don't know whether right here he's trying to teach the students. He's definitely laying this out very well. He is revealing that much of what we're going to find in the Hebrew writings was written over 1,000 years earlier by the Egyptians. And so let's just figure out a little bit more about it. It is true, of course, again, he says, that the king was himself considered divine, so that's the divine right of kings being introduced there, the son of the sun god Re. So he was the son of God, or the son of the sun god Re, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, if you will. He was held in such high respect that he could not be mentioned by name, but had to be referred to as Pharaoh. Pharaoh, from the Egyptian Pero, meaning great house or royal house. He was forbidden to marry anyone outside of his immediate family. He was forbidden to marry anyone outside of his immediate family, lest the divine blood be contaminated by an inferior strain. It is also to be noted that in all of his official actions, his authority was limited by the ancient law, which was believed to embody the divine will. He was not above the law, but subject to the law. To compare him, then, with the divine right monarchs of more modern times is to misunderstand his function. So this is a pretty advanced and a pretty refined and a very equitable or just system, in my opinion, right off the bat. This is the picture that I'm getting out of this reading. No separation of church and state existed in the Old Kingdom. The Pharaoh's chief subordinates were the priests, and he was himself the chief priest. So this is harkens back to Auguste Comte's writings about the first form of government, the theological stage of development, where we were ruled by priests and priest-kings. But he had other agents also, a vizier, not a brazier, but a vizier, or prime minister, a royal treasurer, a chief architect, a superintendent of public works, a chief justice, and 42 nomarchs. Nomarchs. Remember what I said? Going back here, in the early part of this period, the country, Egypt, seems to have consisted of a number of nomes, quote-unquote nomes, or city-states, each of them independent. And here we see later in the article, and 42 nomarchs. So we had a vizier, or prime minister. Remember the Joseph principle. Joseph rose up along the side of Pharaoh and became the grand vizier, or prime minister, of Egypt. This was the Hebrew boy with the coat of many colors. Remember? Thrown in a pit by his brothers, sold into slavery and all that. Originally, the last were governors of the nomes, or local districts into which the country was divided. So if you think of the nomarchs like as in either state governors or county commissioners or the justices of the peace, then you're starting to get a better idea of who these 42 nomarchs were. And there's 42 of them, which is interesting enough. But nevertheless, if we thought of them as states, that would be all right. But Egypt, in this time period, was really, for all intents and purposes, the Nile Valley. Sometimes as little as 10 miles in width and sometimes as wide as 27, but nevertheless, it was a valley. And it had has very steep cliffs on either side, high cliffs, and so it was pretty well protected in this valley kingdom. And Thebes, of course, and Karnak and the other major centers in Memphis and so on, where there were big cities. But there are these 42 nomarchs. Nomarch. Sound familiar? A nomarch, nomarch, nearch, anarch, nomarch. Again, originally they were appointed by the Pharaoh and were supposed to execute his will, but gradually they made their positions hereditary and usurped for themselves more and more prerogatives of sovereignty. If you go back, as we have already intimated, and go back and start at the Reformation and the rise of mercantilism, we find the very similar things happening there. As we crossed over from the old world order into the new world order, where each of the various priests, preachers, became basically the founders of new religious cults, if you will, we start into this whole new period, breaking down the feudalism system, starting into some kings again, much the same way that we find here in Egypt, and I'll say this, I'll just repeat it again. Originally, they were appointed by the Pharaoh, these nomarchs, and were supposed to execute his will, but gradually their positions became hereditary, and they usurped for themselves, Barry the usurper, they usurped for themselves more and more prerogatives of sovereignty. Since these were survivals of the old city-states, sectional feeling lingered and encouraged the local governors to defy the central authority. Now we have a flurry of these various Tenth Amendment bills coming into play, and hey, we'll pick it up on the other side as the plot thickens. Stay with us.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance that helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Okay, now we're back once again, and we're starting to bring this thing home a little bit to our discussion. We're talking about anarchy, really. We're talking about anarchism as well, this idea that it circulates around so often, this desire to abolish all forms of government and so on. There's a history here. There are things that we can learn, things that we can understand. But originally, again, these nomarchs, these 42 nomarchs, were appointed by the pharaoh and were supposed to execute his will, but gradually they made their positions hereditary and usurped for themselves more and more prerogatives of sovereignty. Since the gnomes, now these aren't the G-N-O-M-E-S's, the little dwarves, since the gnomes were survivals of the old city-states, sectional feeling lingered, and encourage the local governors to defy the central authority. And as I said, we got these 10th Amendment bills going around, resolutions. But if we can understand that we have 3,066 counties in the United States of America, of which 33, I believe, if my research is correct, are city counties, then we can see the survival of the old city-state concept. And if we can understand that most of those city counties are also metropolitan governments, metros, out of the idea out of the Chicago, University of Chicago, Metro 1313, these metros, metropolitans, metropolitan forms of government, if we can understand that these metropolitans have councils of mayors, associations of mayors, and the each of the several states have their association of governors, and that they meet from time to time, as do the county commissioners in each state have a group, an organization formed by them, and they meet from time to time. There are all of these extra-constitutional, extra-governmental alliances that are going on all around the United States of America and likely around the world. But all of this, again, encourages, at least at the time of Egypt, it encouraged the local governors to defy the central authority. So we might be saying that the metros have a different outlook in their relationship to the states than they do to the federal government. And we've studied that in the past with Governor Sanford's book, Storm Over the States, where all of the cities, the large cities, began to bypass the state governments and go and make their appeals directly to the federal government for their various and sundry grants in aid. But there we'd have to go into a study of the rise of the idea of grants in aid and all of that. But again, we have this 42 nomarchs. So we can add to our storehouse of knowledge the term gnome and nomarch when we're looking at the idea of anarch. And if you'll recall from our study, when we got to the point in the work where we were looking at Mark 10:42 out of the Bible, of course there's other verses. Romans 15:12 comes immediately to mind. But in 10:42, it reads again like this, you know, or ye know, these are the red letters, according to Jesus, apparently, reportedly, historically, however you want to call it. You know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. So you can see this double tier, the great ones exercising those that are accounted or appointed to rule over the Gentiles. Multiple tiers. You've got your Council on Foreign Relations. You've got your Trilateral Commission. You've got the Captains of Finance and Industry. You've got the International Monetary Fund and the others. You have all of these various tiers above the representatives in Congress, the President, and the Supreme Court. But it continues here, but so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you will be the chiefest, and shall be your minister of all. And whosoever among you shall be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. So we can from that derive the idea of our public servants. The one that we select from our local voting precinct groups to run and serve as a county committee man or a county committee woman become our servant, not our master. It's very handy if you can take out of the minds of people the customs and traditions and the languages and the tongues, the tribes, the creeds that make up a nation, we the people, and morph it into the concept of state. Very convenient, very handy. So, again, we also found in that, when we found the right word in Greek, that to rule over is derived from the two words archo or archon. And archo is to rule or govern. In the classical Greek, archo, the active voice, and archomeia, the middle voice, meant to begin. The beginning of sorrows or the beginning of government. The chiefest of government. The beginning point. That vicar of God. The archon, here, 758 in the Strong's, a ruler, a chief, a prince magistrate, you know, chief, chiefest among you, a ruler, the pharaoh, the prince magistrate, these would be your nomarchs, going right back to the time period now, and it would seem from a comparison of John 3:1, John 7:50, that archon of the Jews, in the former passage, because as Jesus or Christ was speaking, he was speaking to the Jews at the time and was one himself. He may very well have meaning that the archon of the Jews in the former passage means a member of the Jewish Sanhedrin, but it's plain from comparing Matthew 9:18, Mark 52:5.2, Luke 8:41 that archon in those texts means only the ruler of a synagogue. So, it's just a little window into a word study that helps us to get a better feeling for what is anarch and what was being said in all of this. If we could, and we could, it would be pretty long. I wouldn't really want to try and do this, but we've got a very, very good history here of Egypt as it proceeds through all of the dynasties. Rather novel and precious because it's so succinct, and at the same time, it opens up much. And you don't quite get the same flow out of encyclopedia articles as this particular author has presented here. But let's shift gears a little bit here and go further into anarchism. So we understand the beginning, and now we know that we're going to go back now toward closer towards the end of this concept of anarchism, where the idea of being against the man as the ruler, that concept, as we can find in the Bible and as we hear from Egypt, that there was a God, if you will, creator. In this case, either they had the choice between Re and Osiris, either the vegetative powers of creation from Osiris on that side, or Re, the sun god, the supreme god of all, of the universe. It wasn't until later in the development of this theology, this theocracy, that Ray came out the supreme. It's mixed. It's confused by different pharaohs and their different ability to control the people using this theological argument. So anyway, all of that aside, there's much to go in that. But let's go into anarchism again. Now we see we're back up into the more modern time periods. And it turns from something where it's really against man's rule and a champion for rule only by the creator of the universe, which is the original concept of anarch. And now it changes into an ism and an ideology in an abolition of all forms of established government, and that's quite a perversion. We'll pick it up. Stay right there.
As America limps on its last legs, a pillar of truth has risen. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail. It is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor. Absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we are back, as I'm rapidly writing down a note here to myself to ask Mr. McManus about the Belmont Brotherhood. Let's see, got that written down. Okay, sorry about that. Interactive Talk Radio here, dealing with the chat room and enjoying it very much. Hope you're in the chat room this morning, chatting away. Lots of interesting things always come up in there. Going back to our discussion of anarchism here finally. Anarchism, right out of the encyclopedia, the theory that all forms of government are wrong and unnecessary. Let that seep in a little bit. Anarchism, the theory that all forms of government are wrong and unnecessary. Of course, the household government comes under that as well, too. Kind of frightening. Anarchists believe that the highest attainment of all of humanity is to be reached by the freedom of the individual to express his own character and qualities, unhindered by any form of repression or control from without. They hold that the perfection of humanity will not be attained until all government is abolished and each individual left absolutely free. Yet, upon this freedom, they are compelled to put the limitation that a man shall not injure his fellow beings. From this limitation arises another. If any human being attempts to injure others, all well-meaning individuals have the right to combine against him, and the orderly class may repress the criminal class though only by voluntary combination and not under any governmental organization. Now, I just have to remind you of the Illuminati and all of this and their desire to abolish all forms of both religion and government. Of course, they had their substitute. They had their replacement set well in mind, as do all of the various isms. One might champion for the abolition of A, but they always have in mind the substitution of B, so you can get rid of the Ten Commandments if you dislike them. Or the Beatitudes, if you dislike them, or the teachings of the Hammurabi Code, if you dislike that. But always and everywhere, there's a replacement set in mind. And, too often, in these various philosophies that I've studied, these various philosophers, they never seem to really offer the kinds of solutions that one would hope that they would. There are many detractors, there are many August Comte called them the mere destructives, those that would tear down but never have a solution in mind. Always order out of chaos. But we can see here certain of these principles in the beginning of the idea of modern anarchism. And the 19th century French writer Pierre-Joseph Proudhon is generally regarded as the father of the system of so-called philosophic anarchism. And we saw in a previous study that there was two paths that were taken. One was the revolutionary anarchism, or the anarchism that goes out to shoot all of the leaders one by one, popping them off like so many ducks in a pond, frogs in a barrel, so to speak. The other one is this philosophic anarchism. And of course, you've heard me say and others say that our rights, all of the my rights end where the rights of another begin. I believe that. I do. I believe that my rights end where the rights of another person begins. And so we need to come to some understanding one another. Because his rights end where my rights begin. If he's trampling on my rights, he has no more right to do that than I trampling on his, and so on. But when it comes down to it, there's always the guy that has the bigger stick or the bigger gun or the more sons or more friends or whatever. And when we get into this thing, you can go in and study Sir Thomas Hobbes in his book, his writing, Leviathan. He was a Tory. He was pro-monarch. He was pro-government. But he very eloquently puts it all together in this idea of all men at war against all men. And it's out of that the governments are founded. Governments are instituted among men to secure the blessings of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, if you take the Declaration for anything other than a piece of paper. Continuing here from the article, then, we find that Pierre-Joseph Proudhon is regarded as the father of the system of so-called philosophic anarchism. And according to Proudhon and his followers, anarchism would exclude authority from society, setting up extreme individualism, and as I've mentioned in the past, we'd have to go into and study individualism as another study to try and wrap our minds around this concept. However, philosophical anarchists repudiate violent methods and hope for a gradual evolution of society toward anarchic organization. Those who reject this theory of anarchism maintain that the entire trend of human development is toward achievement by cooperation, that social cooperation can never be wholly voluntary. In business associations, for example, even when government does not directly interfere, those concerned in the combination surrender their personal liberty under some form of contract, so that each is bound to render to the other a specified service. In the suppression of crime, the surrender of liberty for the sake of effective cooperation is still more imperative, as the criminals are to be considerable extent already organized. The crime boss, the mob, the gang, and all of that. Now then, it goes on. I might as well just go on. Another school of anarchism relying on organized action. Organized action, remember that? The propaganda of action. The propaganda of action would be the release of a swine flu out of a laboratory someplace to effect an end. The propaganda of action is to assassinate President Kennedy. A propaganda of action is to put together such a stage pledge as to let the people think that we've actually gone to the moon, not once, but several times. There are lots of different ways you can run the propaganda of action. The propaganda of action is to cause the World Trade Center buildings to collapse in controlled demolition, etc. There's lots of these various and sundry propaganda of action, blowing up the Alfred P. Murrow Federal Building while all the people are still inside the building, firebombing the Branch Davidian compound, etc. Shooting Vicky Weaver in the face while she's holding her baby at her breast. Propaganda of action, anarchism in many forms. Continue along here. There was another school in the Congress of the International Working Men's Association, the First International, at Basel in 1869. The anarchists, led by the Russian revolutionist Mikhail Bakunin, were outvoted by the socialists. In 1872, the anarchists were expelled from the Internationale. Two L's and an E there. Since that time, socialism and anarchism have tended to diverge sharply, although both are basically anti-capitalist. They're opposed to something, but not for something. Philosophical anarchists continue to differ from socialists in their emphasis on freedom from control, especially that of the state. Many anarchists took part in the trade union movement, usually as members of unions with a syndicalist program, and we can go into syndicalism there. Others accepted the terrorist policy, practicing assassination, which they designated propaganda of the deed or propaganda of action. It's found variously in my books, propaganda of action being the most frequently found. While most anarchists have not advocated terrorism, the popular view has unjustly identified all anarchism with violence. All right, so now we're going to paint with a big brush. And instead of recognizing what might be valuable and might be informative in the idea of the philosophical anarchist, we just call all anarchists violent terrorists. Assassinations, again, such as those, all, we don't need to go through that. We've been through that. Other well-known anarchists of modern times include the Russian followers of Bakunin, Prince Pyotr Alexeyevich Kropotkin, who called himself an anarchistic communist, and the Americans Alexander Berkman and Emma Goldman. Anarchism declined steadily in importance both as a political philosophy and as an organized movement during the second quarter of the 20th century, but we can hear plenty of that coming on us and at us right now in the first decade of the 21st century. Lots of people are anti-government. But again, government is a piece of paper. Government is a system. Let me reach over here, grab another book. Go over to Aristotle's Politics for a moment here. If the existence of the state is alone to be considered, then it would seem that all or some, at least, of these claims are just, but if we take into account a good life, then as I've already said, education and virtue have superior claims. So begins Book 3, Chapter 12 of Aristotle's Politics. We'll pick it up on the other side. Stay with us.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at PureBulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at PureBulk.com.
They say that you can travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
And we've returned once again here for the final segment of today's broadcast, and we just dropped over and jumped into Aristotle's politics for a little bit for the closing of this particular segment, talking about anarchy, anarchism, state, national government, and all of that, the Egyptians. Aristotle writes this: the problem is a universal one and equally concerns all forms of government, true as well as false. For although perverted forms with a view to their own interest may adopt this policy, those which seek the common interest to do so likewise. The same thing may be observed in the arts and sciences, for the painter will not allow the figure to have a foot which, however beautiful, is not in proportion, nor will the shipbuilder allow the stern or any other part of the vessel to be unduly large. Any more than the chorus master will allow anyone who sings louder or better than all the rest to sing in the choir. Monarchs too, may practice compulsion and still live in harmony with their cities, if their own government is for the interest of the state. That's very telling right there. If their own government is for the interest of the state. As I've repeatedly stated and shown to you in many sources, the established two-party political system, the system of representative government, the representatives that we have do not and have not since our founding represent we the people. They represent largely their parties and factions. And that is really one of the main reasons why our founders warned against the establishment of parties and factions. And we can only ask why the established political party system remains in place, why it's still here, why do we have it? Here's a little bit more out of this very interesting text on Western civilizations, which we began the broadcast with, and it goes along this line. I think I started right here. Yes. As in most countries, however, constitutional changes affected by formal amendments do not tell the whole story. Equally important are informal changes accomplished by modifications of custom and tradition or by the development of new usages and practices. Every informed person knows that in Great Britain, the system of cabinet government is almost unknown to the written law. In other words, they don't have a written constitution, but they have a cabinet government, unknown in their written law. It developed through precedences and usages, or what the British call conventions, quote-unquote, over a period of more than two centuries. Conventions, curious that we have these political party conventions, don't we? But that's not quite what they meant. Conventions over a period of more than two centuries. Informal change, our author here writes, has brought similar momentous results in the United States. I love this. I'm so glad that I bought this book for 40 cents to get this phrase right here. The fathers of the Constitution had no conception of the important role which political parties would come to play in our system of government. They envisioned the selection of the president as a process in which the people would not participate directly, but would vote merely for electors, who in turn would choose the president. Through the course of the nation's history, the intentions of the fathers with respect to these matters were gradually broken down. The last to succumb was the constitutional division of powers between the federal government and the state. The fathers evidently intended that the states should exercise the bulk of these powers. Again, this was written in edited in 1961, and it was begun in 1940s. But he says here, but in recent years, so you'll have to use your own discernment as to what he might mean by recent years, somewhere between the 40s and the 60s. But in recent years, the balance has shifted heavily in favor of the central authority as a result of a new interpretation of the General Welfare Clause and the development of the grant-in-aid system. Very few areas remain in which the federal government cannot supersede the states. That's so very important. My little credo, which you can find on vocallocal.org, I have a line that reads along this line, this way. Wherever it is attempted, Vocal Local refuses to accept international, federal, or state grants in aid, realizing that whenever a people reach out for unearned shekels, the shackles of control are inevitably clamped on. And here in this textbook on Western civilizations, we say that we're seeing the same thing. As a result of new interpretations of the General Welfare Clause and the development of the Grants in Aid system, very few areas remain in which the federal government cannot supersede the states. Congress now appropriates money for building highways within the states, for old age pensions and unemployment insurance, and for various forms of agricultural and vocational education. Wages and hours legislation is the maintenance of labor, the labor's right to bargain collectively, and are now considered legitimate functions of the national government. Now again, here's that term, national government. What is a national government? We have a state government, we have county governments, we have city and town councils, and we have a federal government. There is no national government. And as he begins correctly, he ends badly in this particular case, because we found that in his own writings in the beginning of the book. But I'll continue here nonetheless. Okay. In addition, the Federal Bureau of Investigation has come to the aid of the states in apprehending criminals and largely supplants the local authorities in the enforcement of certain laws. Once again, this is that encroachment or the incursion of the federal authorities on top of the county authorities. Maybe one of these days we'll get Sheriff Mack on air and let him hammer this out one time for you. Though government in the United States is far from the consolidated form characteristic of Britain and France, it still represents a wide departure from the federal system conceived by the founders. And so, again, I encourage people to not condemn government. That's the frame, that's the paper, that's the format. But we need to look at all of the various and sundry perversions and transmutations that have occurred by men inside of this system. If we can correctly analyze the disease, no, it's not going to be a hog flu. The disease is and remains this established two-party political system that was created to divide the nation in this 50-50 battle. Balance, the North against the South, just like we found in Egypt this morning, reading that. This established two-party political system that so divides the people that we have the people fighting one another, endlessly, you know, distracted and with endless distractions, votes turning out 49% for and 51% against. We have industry against agriculture when both interests are our own. There's so much in all of that to understand. But we have this established two-party political system that has no ground and no basis in any of the founding documents. It's an add-on, it's an adjunct. And yet, even the Republican National Committee and the Democratic National Committee would be first to say, and all political scientists would second, that the sole purpose of political parties, really, is to gain control of government. So we have an enemy within. We have these two parties, basically controlled by the same monetary interests, vying constantly for the same power. All of the various patronage systems throughout the country. The people believe they have a voice in their government, and they have none. And yet at the same time, in all of that, the solution lies within that system. It's all the way down at the very local voting precinct, which is the foundation upon which the entire established two-party political system rises. And it is in that place, with little or no money and very little time, that we can actually become the party system. We can make a major improvement in our position in 2010, and if we have grace to live as long as 2012, we could make a substantial change right there. As long as the party system lives and exists, folks, we can use it to our own benefit. Anyway, we'll pick it up again tomorrow. Thanks for listening today. Have a great afternoon. Bye for now.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monkey is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.